Kia ora e te whānau. We're in a new month, October, best month of the year. And so as part of preparing for the new year, we're starting to get a run-up now and prepare ourselves for whatever it is God, whatever opportunity God presents to us. So this morning, we're beginning what is about a four-month journey. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach continuously for 4 months from now. But I do apologize that you have to hear some more talking today. We're going to begin a four-month journey exploring what it means to be anchored in Christ. This phrase will be our refrain, our anchor, and our God, our guide. Over the coming weeks, we'll see that being anchored in Christ means we are rooted in truth, formed in community, renewed in worship, and sustained by prayer. And today, we're going to begin with the foundation of being rooted in truth. And so if you turn with your Bibles, turn in your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to read from verses 6 to 7. And here we read, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness." Let's read that again. "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness." Christ is the foundation. Paul writes to the Colossians, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. The starting point of Christian faith is not an idea, it's not a set of rules or a lifestyle choice. It is receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. And Paul says, do not stop there, but keep living in him. Stay rooted. Too many times, in my experience, I've seen Christians, myself included, who have gone, yes, Jesus is Lord, and now I need to move on to be figuring out how to be a good Christian, and we kind of leave Jesus behind. Yep, I've ticked that box, I've met Jesus, I've got saved, what's next? That isn't the Christian faith. And Paul here is saying, do not stop at that point. I've ticked that box, now I just carry on doing whatever I was doing before. The thing with roots is they're unseen, but they're essential. A tree may look strong on the outside, but if its roots are shallow, it will topple in the storm. A tree with deep roots can withstand wind, drought, and changing seasons. That's very much what happens with us. When I was younger, I was very good at looking like a big tree. But I had very shallow roots. And so what happens often is you'll see someone and everyone is kind of enamored with the bright light or the flashy kind of waving of the leaves. Oh, wow, it's amazing. And then a storm comes, blows them over, and it's all over. That really described a bit of my life. To be rooted in Christ means our unseen life, our inner life, the life of prayer, scripture and devotion, goes deep into him, into Jesus. I'm not just talking about studying Christian books or literature or trying to find some sort of apologetic or getting consumed with a lot of esoteric information. But about going deep into Christ. Without roots, there can be no fruit. It doesn't matter how much you study and how much you gain scholarly accreditation. It doesn't matter how many good works you do either. It doesn't matter how hard you're working out there for the community and how visible you are in doing that work. That doesn't matter either. Being anchored in Christ means we do not build on shifting sands, but on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Because if you don't build on the solid rock, then when storms come, you get blown over. When this morning before church, I had to, I said a few words at the Presbyterian Church across the road. It's Reverend Jill's last Sunday service there. And we were talking, and you know, if you were at the opening of the park, she had expressed some kind of discomfort at taking so long for the sale to go through. 4 years is a long time for us humans. But one of the things I've realized is that being rooted in Christ means those things don't topple you. When resistance comes, if you actually are standing on solid rock, it doesn't matter what the resistance is or how big it is or how powerful it is, because the steadfastness of that rock never changes. My I have a friend at council, and she's the group manager for community services, and we were talking about this transaction and how we bought the building and how God blessed us and how, you know, we got it for $250,000 less than what we had originally offered 4 years ago. And so we'd kind of made a little bit of money on the side to help us get through what we needed to. And at the end of it, she said, "Oh, remind me never to negotiate with you." I said to her, "It wasn't actually about me. God had a plan." And so He knew what needed to happen more than I did. And so what held me all of those times, and there were many days and nights where I was quite annoyed, is a good way to put it, that I only found strength in being anchored in Christ. I knew what God had spoken to me about, and I knew I could trust Him. And that's the key here in this point. Being anchored in Christ means we do not build on shifting sands, but on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. So my second point, it's truth that grounds us. Paul continues, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. The Colossians were not to invent their own truth. They received the apostolic teaching handed down through the community of faith. Truth is not something we make up. It is a gift we receive. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," in John 14:6. The psalmist wrote, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Psalm 119, verse 105. Jesus told the parable of the wise and foolish builders, one built on rock, the other on sand. The storm came to both. The difference was the foundation. Our culture tells us, live your truth. We're in a post-truth world. It doesn't seem to be that important to anyone. But Paul tells us, be rooted in the truth. Being anchored in Christ means standing firm, not tossed about by every new idea or every cultural trend. Paul finishes this section, though, with a really surprising phrase. He says, overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. It's deeply troubling to me when I am talking with some of my fellow Christians, and their misery is overflowing. Complaining about everything. Complaining about the world. The world is doing this, and people are doing that, and this issue, and that issue. And I'm like, are you not grateful that God loves you? That his son died for you? That your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Starting from that point, starting from that foundation of Christ, it doesn't matter what goes on around us. Nothing matters as much as knowing we belong to God. You can face any trouble. And the Christian's saying, oh, you know, man, you shouldn't have kids these days because, you know, the world is the world, and they're going on. And I'm like, then who else is going to carry the eternal hope of the gospel if you don't have children? Oh, the education system. Who else is going to stand firm on the rock in all of these places where things are crumbling, where things are falling down? Who else will do that? If we huddle in our room and, quick, we need to build bigger walls around the church to protect it from being corrupted by everything around us. Don't be ridiculous. Get out there and get dirty. Our foundation is Jesus. Nothing is powerful enough to shake that. A life overflowing with thankfulness. Roots do not only hold a tree in place, they also draw up nourishment. In the same way, when we are rooted in Christ, his life flows into us. The fruit of that life is gratitude. That is it. It's not shallow optimism. It's like, oh, you know, it's going to be great and everything's fine. No, it's just a certainty. It's a truth. It resonates for eternity in the reliability and the faithfulness of God. It's a deep thankfulness. It's really deep because it has to be so we can draw on it in hardship. When everything else around us is dry and barren, when everything else around us is broken and falling down, when powerful winds keep blowing, when storms come, a deep thankfulness remains even in hardship. Picture a cup so full it spills over. That is the life of someone anchored in Christ. Gratitude spilling over into words, worship and service and witness. Anchored in Christ means a life that overflows with thankfulness. So, if these things are true, how do we live this out? Yeah, it sounds good in theory, right? Number one, personally, recommit yourself to Scripture. Don't get your theology off the internet. Get a Bible. Read it. And look, there are some great commentaries and people who've studied and can give you some really good context and are faithful to the Word of God. But there's also a huge amount of complete junk. But I can guarantee this: God himself speaks through his word, and God is never wrong. So if you're not sure where to start, start there, in the Word of God. Maybe read through Colossians this month. There you go. There's a goal. It's a book in the Bible, in the New Testament. Try and read the whole thing for this month. And maybe there were pop quiz. No. But that's okay for us personally, but what about communally? What about together? Let's walk this together. As a church, we will keep returning to this series theme, encouraging one another. And for each of you, encourage those around you, encourage those you're talking to, to remain anchored in Christ. Sometimes we get so incredibly animated about what's going on in the world or what's happening with some famous person or even an unknown person like Taylor Swift. What's going on there? How about we get a little bit excited about what Jesus is doing? And beyond that, symbolically, today, I invite you, each one of you, to write down one way you want to be rooted in truth this month. Let's get a bit practical. Write down one way, whether it's a commitment to praying. I want to set some specific time I'm going to start praying. Or maybe it's Bible reading. I'm going to read one more chapter than I normally do this month, every day. Or maybe it's just being accountable with another believer. Checking in with one of your family here, your family of faith, and saying, hey man, I just want to check in with you because I want you to like speak to me honestly. Maybe if we start sharing with one another honestly about some of the struggles we're in, we might drop the facade of being a shallow-rooted Christian easily blown over. And perhaps it's just encouraging one another together to find our way to the rock that we might fellowship together on that immovable ground. We'll place these commitments together as a sign of being anchored in Christ. But I want to tell you, this is just the beginning. Over the next weeks, we'll see how being anchored in Christ also means being formed in community together. We'll see how being anchored in Christ is renewed through worship. And also, how being anchored in Christ is sustained in prayer. My relationship with Sarah, for example, is built stronger through the constant dialogue and engagement we have, year on year, moment on moment, as we continue to discover how amazing it is that God brought us together. And what his promises mean, and what he has in store for us. And prayers like that, drawing close to God and communicating with him, discovering more and more about him that you didn't know, discovering the very nature of Christ in ways that you had never known before. Look, I know this month storms will come. As I've been preparing, as we look into the new year, I've mentioned before that, you know, we have an enemy who doesn't really like us stepping into God's promises. And I'll be honest with you, in this last week, it's been incredibly difficult for me. We've had four yesterday, of our community pass. This year. In the 5 or 6 years before, it was about one a year I'd lose. And we lost maybe half a dozen. But rather than being succumbing to the despair that says, what's the point? My feet remain firmly on the rock of Christ. So yes, storms will come. Challenges will test us. But if we are rooted in Christ, we will stand and we will flourish. So let us continue to live our lives in Him. Rooted, built up, strengthened, and overflowing with thankfulness. See, that wasn't so bad, was it? I'm incredibly excited for what God has for us. What He's laid out before us. And I'm grateful that He has brought us this far. This morning as I spoke to the parish, St. Andrew's Presbyterian Parish, I talked about their faithfulness and sacrifice and commitment to what God was calling them to as a congregation. I read a piece of work, a piece of history about this hall specifically that a member of their congregation had been working on for some years, and looked at when it was built and sort of the purpose of the church and how they'd moved out of it and built their new church hall, and then they committed and invested a lot of money to make this hall earthquake safe and a whole bunch of things, and they had a vision for it to be a hub in Hastings for the community. And Jill, when she spoke, she said, "It started for me because I was talking to somebody, I was talking to Presbyterian support about a hub here, a community hub. And she had a friend at the council who said, you should talk to Warren Heckey. And so she met with me and we had a coffee, and we've had a few coffees over the years now. But, and she said, and then he kind of came to me at one point. He said, hey, can we, do you know anyone with a space we can use for our church? Because, you know, we need to get out of this other place. She said, yes, why don't you use this? And so we came and we moved in here. Little did I know, and little did she realize, that the prayers of her own congregation for this, which had been going on for decades prior, was going to be fulfilled with some crazy Pentecostals. And that our story would be woven together with that long history of God's hand directing. I had some older members of their congregation speak to me a few times over the last few weeks, expressing such joy and gratitude to God that what they had prayed for, what they had sacrificed for, what they had believed in, they got to see it unfold in front of them. And so we draw from that whakapapa and continue woven together ecumenically in our community, demonstrating that there's a God who loves this town, who loves these people. It's just the beginning. I don't want to finish 2 minutes early. So we're going to gather for lunch, and let me just close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that our lives can find such permanence and stability and security in you. And Lord, we ask that you strengthen us for the great work that you have for us as a congregation. Lord, I pray that we might be built up in Christ. Lord, help us as we recommit ourselves to Scripture and to your word. As we move to dwell in that incredibly rich space of your word. And Lord, as a church together, help us to encourage one another about remaining anchored in Christ. And then, Lord, I pray, hold us accountable to our commitments of obedience to you. Lord, I pray you bless this congregation, bless all those who are visiting this morning. Lord, I pray as we gather around the meal table, Lord, you would bless our conversation, bless this food we're about to eat, and Lord, let it nourish us in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.